Anyway, so
he's over there just running shit.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. He was so quiet we didn't hear him. Ross was there, the guy in the shorts. So with this passage, that whole section, again in Romans 8, talks a lot about future glory. For example, up in 11, it says, "The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit." And so, future bodies, our future bodies will be glorified, resurrected, perfect bodies. And when we hear the prayer requests we hear and the things we experience, unbelievable. Just incredible promise of that future glory. This chapter all the way down to 20, verse 20 in Romans 8, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." So, the creation is going to be restored. We see how scarred and wrong so much of creation is. It will be restored. So, as one of the writers said, our future life is at a prepared place for a prepared people. That's our hope. And that hope gets greater and greater all the time, as far as I'm concerned. So, what a great hope. But then in addition to this, a thought is back to that passage I first read between 16 and 18, verse 17. "If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may share in His glory." So we'll talk about the glory for a second. And I thought an illustration of that. So this is where we were in Lima. This is paradise. Clearly, right? This is paradise.
Accurately named.
And so I wanted to kind of, it's, Lima is a city of 10 million people. And the core of Lima is like a European city. And then as it goes out, the poverty sets in. And so these are in the hills surrounding Lima. There are probably a lot of these kind of communities. I think 15,000 people live in these hills. And it just seems to me the government has said, if you can just put some boards up, you just live there. I mean, it's basically squatters, I think, if I've got that right. So that's the look of it. It's hills. It's that white smog, too, that you might get some blue sky that you can see through this, but it's a white smog. And here's another picture of it. So I wanted that because it has the fire. You can see the smoke up there. They just throw trash out and burn it. So there's just, it's always burning, and that's going up in that smog. So at the top of these hills, they say you can see the Pacific Ocean. So it's not that far, but we didn't see it because it's just this smog. So one day we drove down the coast, and this is what we saw. It's really incredible, beautiful. And then this, I think, was this the only, is this the only red beach in the world? Somebody said that? It is gorgeous. Can y'all see, there's a person in this picture.
Yeah,
that was one of our group. Any guesses?
Tim.
He wanted to go get on the red beach. When he got down there, it's cliffs, so you can't. I mean, he could have, as somebody said, he could have gotten down, but it'd been hard getting back up. But it was a hard walk back up. But anyway, that's to me, it was such a picture of the natural beauty that's right there, but you can't see because of the smog. And to me, that's what the curse has done. I mean, if we see glimpses of the beauty here, but the curse keeps us from having this full experience, and it's just gorgeous.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Is that a road to the right there? Is that
yes?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a national park, I think.
Is there many paved roads in the area that y'all?
Not in this not in this area. Because again, this is a national park, and it's a desert. It's really interesting that that's in Peru.
Right. This is probably 10 miles from civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
John, what is that? The beach red? Is that iron ore?
It's volcanic rock. This whole thing is the mouth of a volcano. Right. It's in a circular area.
Sam was listening to the tour guys. I was worried about Tim.
Yeah, or Tim remembered it.
Yeah, I was down there when the lava comes out. That's right. You're really smart.
Close to the action. Tim always wants to be close to the action.
Who's that laying next to you on the
Oh, yeah.
You didn't help him.
I didn't help him, but I did worry about it, but I didn't help him.
I'm not saying help him get back up. I'm just saying help him get
So anyway,
yes,
that is from, so we're up,
up
a hill, pretty long way, yeah.
And then Tim, you ran down?
He ran down, looked like he was skiing, he zigzagged.
I just wanted a red rock, a simple red rock.
Go to Mars.
Which turns out to be illegal today.
So I liked the picture and the beauty and all, but the passage, the way it struck me, that Romans 8:17, we will share in his glory if we share in his suffering. And that's kind of like the hardest verse in Romans 8. Like, nobody wants to share in suffering. And I guess the more I thought about that while we were there is that we share in his suffering. So Christ's suffering. And you kind of go, well, okay, religious persecution. There are people who share that for sure. But I thought it's really his suffering goes beyond that. He did suffer a religious, political death, but he did it for the purpose of bearing burdens. And that's what we are called to share everywhere, everybody, all of us in here. And so there are people, I saw snapshots of that. Peru made me think of that. It's not that that we suffered in Peru. We had a good time down there, and it was a good group. But we saw it, and we saw a great ministry. So I thought it was a snapshot of some ways we could look at that. So this was up on top of one of those hills. They have a lot of hills like this. And so, you know, that immediately makes you think of Christ's work. We went up that hill for fun, and Christ went up the hill knowing he was going to die, and not just to make a point. He went to bear our burdens. And so the calling is to, we're going to share in his glory, but it's to share in the suffering and bear burdens. And bearing burdens is a hard thing. We don't naturally want to do it. And Tim and I have a passage we like from a Dietrich Bonhoeffer book that basically says, That's what believers do. We bear the burdens of a brother. That pagans, that's how he said it. That's how he said it in his book. It's like pagans don't, they just avoid it. Which is a generalization, but I think his point is if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are going towards need and towards suffering. And so, and that's hard to do. When you share it, when we pray for people, when we go visit them, you're taking that on. I mean, it hurts and it, but by that, we can help others. This class is great at doing that. And this ministry down in Peru is great at doing so much. This is not in paradise. It's back closer towards Lima, but it's not in a great neighborhood, right, guys? It's still pretty bleak. But that ministry, huh?
Lots of dogs.
Lots of dogs. Everywhere's dogs. Yeah, we'll talk about that too. They bark all night too, don't they? So this ministry is redone. I want to say this was in the early 2000s. They redid this facility, this house, and several of those floors, what they do is house battered women and those women's their children. And I think there's 23 people in there right now. And so they're on, two of those floors. We stayed on another floor. But we saw him. No, how about this picture? That is Eric's friend right there, Melanie. Right, Eric?
Yeah.
It was great. Eric was so sweet to her. She loved Eric. We all do, of course.
Yes.
But there. Look at that. That's so great. She's so cute. Just a quick story of her. So she's seven, would you say 7 years old? Something like that. Six, maybe. Her mother is there. She's an abused woman. Her mom was there. She was raped at age 13 by her uncle. And this is the baby. And that's just the cutest little kid. And so you saw the mom around there working, very sweet. She's blind. I mean, the whole thing is just a heart-wrenching story, but she's at this place, protected. I mean, it's pretty telling. If you can see at the bottom there, those walls and the wires, I mean, I don't think that's for decoration. So they're in a dangerous situation, but she may be there for a long, long time. They have a system that they get them in and out of there, but not immediately. It's years that they do because they just have gone through so much. There's a Peruvian woman that runs it. There's staff down there. They are amazing. They do a fantastic job. So they're truly bearing some suffering and just making an impact. This is another of the ministries. They're all kind of related. This is a church and a school. That's in Paradise. The Paradise Mission Church and then Isaac Newton School. So we were there. That's a really beginning of that bad neighborhood. But the kids are great. They have a lot of kids. They're in their uniforms and they're getting a good education. This school is one of the places that the team put a water filtration system in. And there it is. So another new earth connection. Revelation 22 talks about the river of life with water clear as crystal. What a vision and how attractive that sounds. The water is not clear as crystal in Peru. You are not even supposed to at Pat's place, that pretty good water, but if you brushed your teeth with the water, that was a mistake. We had some people, a person that had that problem that forgot the warning several times and would come walking in going, guys, I forgot it again. And he paid for it. But these guys, when they do this, it takes out like 99%, I don't know, Sam probably listened to the tour, but it takes out the microbes. It's pure, clean, good water, and it produces the byproduct is bleach, right? And the ministries can sell the bleach and make money. So it is an amazing thing. There's the guys teaching the staff at the school how to use it. Pastor Luis is translating there. Those guys have done these in 40 to 45 different places, Dominican Republic, a bunch of others. So water. One other thing that we did was we did housing. We did two houses that we, and by we, I'm using that term very loosely, the team built a couple of houses. And this is one of the families. That is the mom there in the middle, four of the kids. There was another kid and then her husband. So it was a family of seven lived in this house. And that's where they were living. And I'm not even sure they were there by themselves. I can't remember if they were living with some other people in that. But so then... This is little pink houses for you and me. That's the house that the team built. And it's 200 square feet. And so the ministry, the whole package goes, there's a concrete slab that gets laid. The house is built. And you can see to your left, there's some guys standing there. There was some extra wood. And so, they made a kitchen. It's the kitchen's on the back. It's about this big. and no roof yet. It's open concept. That's what we were going for.
We did have shiplap.
Yes.
John, are those rocks held in place by anything?
Gravity.
Glad I didn't think about that at the time. I don't know, do y'all?
No,
we're just stacked.
That's right, because some of them are kind of cobbled. Yeah,
because we were lifting some of the stuff over and pulled some of them loose.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very steep. Let's see if some of these others.
When you look at that, you need to know that Peru is prone to earthquakes.
Right. Yeah, Jerome said that's very true. We're visiting catacombs, and at the very bottom of these catacombs, they were describing the earthquakes. We're like, could we talk about this?
We were
out in the open. So that's the house. You can kind of see, again, to the left, where those are a type of duck over there. That is a drop-off. Right there, and the little kids, 2-year-old kids, play right on the edge of that. The whole thing, but let's see. Okay, so how did we kind of build those houses? A truck could bring the material only so far, and so you kind of saw the valleys and how steep they were. We had to bring the boards. Y'all prayed for that one Sunday. Peggy had a great verse about the building houses on the hill. It was perfect.
Sam liked to stand on the edge.
Sam lives on the edge. When you think of Sam Mooney, he's supervising here. That's Sam in the orange.
No, he carried it.
But what he did right there was very important, because you're coming up those steps. It's very steep and it's very loose, so it's easy to fall. Some of us did fall. That was me. So you had to turn that board to come around that pole. So, you know, how many college graduates and a PhD does it take to carry a wall? There's some of us carrying, and you see in the blue shirt, Russell Long, he's watching it. Here's what he did. He's like, okay, y'all are taking too long. That's him in the middle. He's like, I'm done with y'all. He carried into himself. So,
and it's interesting how this guy on the back side of it, how his hands are up.
Russell, did that help?
It helped.
It's a very charismatic.
He was practicing being charismatic.
So yeah, I'm getting ready to do a cheer. I'm cheering. Everybody cool. Just be cool. Russell doesn't know he has it by himself.
John, here's the thing. A woman would never put her hand through there without being able to see her feet, because if you fall, you're going to get decapitated.
Yeah,
you're way overthinking this.
That's why Tim's there.
Yeah, I do. Russell, watch that head. So, yeah, there's a dog up there. There's a dog up at the top. He's wondering what's going on. So, Russell, thank you for that. Then there's the group. So that's the husband right there in the middle. And he helped build. He was doing a great job. There's a young girl holding the little kid, Miley. She's 20 years old. She lives down there. She's from Georgia. She's permanently living there and doing work. The guy was not in the picture at the school there to the far right. His name is Tim. Koenig, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Koenig. Great guy. Very energetic. So there's that. So,
notice the LSU.
Yeah. Somebody's representing there. That's, let's see. This place was straight up. I don't know if y'all ever do your iPhone where it does your fitness, it counts your steps and it'll count floors. One day mine had 125 floors. I usually have 8 in a day, seriously. And one was 100, one was 83, because you're just going straight up and down. So then other work done in the house, there's our resident surgeon, Glenn, doing surgery on wires. Good job. Then we had, you know, everybody, it was just, we're so thankful for everybody to be there for particular different things. Sam Mooney, electrical engineer.
Thank you, Sam.
It would, the wiring in those two houses would not have worked. He troubleshot. He was a troubleshooter, and he had his apprentice there with him, which can be a dangerous job. He had not troubleshooted yet. But, so let's see. Then Glenn, so they had these people, they had mattresses, but they were just sitting outside in that smog and the dirt, and they were old. And so part of what the ministry does is they bring in new beds, bedding, all that. This Glenn carrying that. Tim and I,
did you see the water tanks in the background where they see the black?
Oh, yeah, right.
That's where they have a truck that comes up and fills their water tanks, and that's the water they...
Right, with water from there...
Is that purified water?
No. We ask about that. It was like, you know, we get sick with that water down there, but they're used to it, right? They're like, nope, they still get sick. And so
they cook with it, they drink it, they
wash everything. Yeah. So this is, Tim and I assembled the beds. We were praying that they didn't fall. These kids are really excited so far. But somebody asked, are those dolls? I mean, they're just the cutest little girls. So they were so happy, y'all, these families, to get this 200 square foot house, were just overjoyed. They loved it. So at that moment, so I'm stopping right here for this to say that all of the represents ministry that we did for a week, but that Amor Real is doing just fantastic work down in Peru, and they're there every day and have been for years and years and years. And so I thought, you know, we know about this, but why don't we bear others' burdens more? We have the opportunities, why don't we do it? And so several things came to mind. First of all, we just don't like to leave comfort. I mean, I didn't want to go on the trip for that perspective. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I don't have time. It's a bad time of year. I was convicted to do it, and I'm glad I did it. But I didn't want to leave comfort. So that's one reason we don't. Fear is another one. They all kind of go together. But one of the things, we talk about the dogs, and this is funny. I mean, we heard when the valet went, there's dogs everywhere there. I don't like dogs. I got bit. I had a paper route when I was 10 years old, and I got bit, and I've just become this thing. I've got bit several times by dogs. I just don't like them. So I thought, well, that doesn't sound like a great thing where they're just everywhere. Tim's like, they're really nice dogs. They really were for the most part. Except at night, they keep you awake. But so the only reason I showed this one, this is the church service. There's a dog there in the church service. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. You get real used to them. But so fear is one reason that we don't. Unrelated to dogs, but speaking of just overcoming fear. Overcoming fear and just having no fear, whoever that is. We were at this desert little place. They did sandboarding. That particular dune is way level compared to the one that people ended up going down. And this was the first guy down both. Just diving in, and because of fear, I didn't do it. And also, I didn't want to give Carter Harsh any more back surgery income. Like, at the end, it looked like a very abrupt ending.
Yes.
But, so, okay, another reason not to bear burdens, this, I absolutely have this, is the feeling of inadequacy. I've had people will be like, you know, you should mentor young business people. You've been in business 40 years. And I think, I've been failing for 40 years. I mean, like, I don't know what to tell them. I mean, I don't know what to share. I have nothing to share. Well, that's crazy. I should have something. But I just feel inadequate. And I felt the same way about this trip because I knew a lot of what we were going to be doing is handyman stuff. And people go, well, what are y'all doing when you're down there? I'm like, well, we're putting in a water system or building houses, they're like, no, what are you going to be doing? I'll be being chased by dogs, running around, being embarrassed because I can't do anything with being a handyman. So to prove that, they gave me a socket to put up. Does anybody notice anything about the drill? Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much. Anyway, we got that done, and I was truly, truly confused. All right, here's something I was a little more comfortable doing, writing on the wall. So inside the houses, they like you to put Bible verses. So I'm writing one in Spanish. Somebody's reading it out to me, so I'm putting that down. Look above there. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. A great passage. I'm glad it's in that house every day. Does anybody notice anything about what? So misspelling of believes, perhaps?
Yeah.
That's what. Whoever believes. And that wasn't me. That was. PhD. We had to tell everybody this is the smartest guy in the room. And he turned around and he's like, this is what's different. But that became. We laughed. It was like, believes. Everybody joined in. Getting on poor Tim for that one. But the guy, Tim, one of the guys that was on the trip, sent a really interesting devotional the week after we got back, where he had just been thinking about it. We were all laughing about it so much. Believes. He said, that should be a word, because that is how we should experience the Christian life. It is we live bearing burdens because we believe. And it's a great connection. So we were going to have t-shirts made that had lips. So let's see. Of course, there's you bear burdens in fellowship with each other. There's a good picture of the Motley crew. And then the view of us, that sunset over the desert areas. It's great. That's very, very beautiful. And Bill, I'm so sorry he wasn't here. He's a fantastic leader. He's taken probably 30 high school trips. I don't know how many high school trips he's done. He's great. I'm not going to say that we drove him crazy. That's what he looked like by the end of the day. That's Bill Brazil or the Joker. I'm not sure which. So anyway, I'm just going to close with a quote that I love from John Piper. Says, the trajectory of the Christian's life is not towards comfort, it's towards need. So what I felt like those were, we were experiencing people who live like that, that their trajectory is toward need, not comfort. And that is a challenge to me for sure, and hope to everybody here. All right, chairs are going. Didn't mean to take that long, guys, but anything that any of the group would add?
Well, I would just say that the fellowship amongst a group, I mean, we come here, Sunday school class, and we know each other, but it's not like being together every minute of every day for 8 days, every meal, the time in the airport, everybody talking. I remember my father told me one time, I had rushed in and spent a couple hours, you know, from I lived in a different place, I came and then left the next day. Life was so busy. And he told me, he said, Dan, you know, God can hardly say it. You can't talk enough. You need time to spend to talk to each other. And that builds family, and that builds relationships. That builds community. God is so true. And you think, what are we going to talk about for 8 days at every meal? I think it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Because you begin to talk about deeper things, about and then you can bear each other's burden. Right. You don't bear each other's burden in 5 hours.
Right. Yeah. That's such a good point. Thank you. Yes, Keith.
If anybody wants to keep on talking, the Missions Committee at Briarwood would like to invite every one of you to come and join. And you can keep going. We got mission trips. We got 30, 40 we take every year. So Heather McDougall or me or Brian Winterstein, give us a call. Come to the next meeting, and we'll try to get you in.
That was perfect, wasn't it?
What?
Perfect marketing. We call it marketing. All right, anybody else wanted to... Judy. Yeah, we talked about trying to do a Christmas project for these people, for the Pat's Place or something. So I guess I should reach out to Alex and see, because she was saying something within the class. We were thinking about trying to do the shoebox thing for those kids, but I'm not sure how it's going to work. Thanks for remembering that. We'd certainly like to keep in touch with us. But we want them to come. I think they visited once. I don't think I was here. They visited the class.
How did they pick the family that got the house?
I don't know.
There's the process? So Miley, who lives there, she's a social worker by trade. And then they have a pastor who leads the church at the school there. And the husband of the director of the school is the neighborhood association president.
Yeah.
And so he helps them know the needs of people going on. And so they try to target families in crisis because there's needs everywhere.
Yeah.
But the ones that they can strategically help. And so they've been doing this over time. It's phenomenal. Yeah, we
had 8 people. Yeah, we only showed one. The other one had 10 people. I was trying to show the... Yeah,
they had installed these houses all over. We weren't the first. Yeah.
Andy, is this where is the ballet?
These are the pastors that the ballet had the privilege of working with, and then it was in this community that we did one of our concerts, and then also I went into the school system that they gave the water system to. It actually has an elementary and then a high school, and so we went into them and taught kids today, just actually exercise and stretching and dancing with them, and so it was really sweet.
It might have been, wasn't just ballet, was there rumba involved or something?
Zumba.
Up there where the water tanks were?
Yeah.
That was a big open area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Tim might have had a video.
Yeah, he did.
Which is with like,
Peggy.
I bet there were 400 students in the school. And they came in, each class by class, the entire day.
And by the night time, I could not walk.
Yes. I cannot believe you did that.
Can I share
a quote?
When we got home, this really meant a lot to me, this quote. It's from James Montgomery Boyce. And he says, we're to seek God's face. What does this mean? It means looking to see the way that his face is pointed and that on which his eyes are set. This is quite practical. It means that if we are serious about the healing and preservation of our land and about our place as his agents in bringing about a measure of that healing, then there will be specific work for us to do. There will be hungry persons to feed, thirsty people to whom to give a glass of cold water, strangers to welcome and house, naked ones to clothe, and prisoners to visit. There will be many to tell of the grace of God toward us in Jesus Christ.
Perfect.
I just love that. That's what you
perfect.
Did.
Perfect. Good work. We'll have opportunities this week, all of us, to bear burdens and share in his suffering. So let's close in prayer, and we'll do that. Lord, we thank you for the promised glory that you died for. You died to give us a resurrection. You bore the sins in our life, our separation from you. And I do pray every one of us would see needs and not just walk by, that we would reach out knowing it's going to be time consuming and probably messy and confusing, but Lord, knowing that that's what you called us to do, help us to bear each other's burdens in this class and around us. Thank you that you do that, that you're the one that's sending us to do your work and that you empower us to do it. We do pray for that ministry in Peru. They would be, they would get the resources they need and continue to be protected, and that they would continue to be blessed in that work. Thank you for our time this morning. In Christ's name, amen.